city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter. Kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We've come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests.
The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting him and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the house of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.' Then Peter began to speak. 'I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by the witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. This is the word of the Lord.
That was a long reading, and I tried to side glance a bit, and I'm so impressed and amazed that you are listening intently of how God continues to work before and even now. I learned from Steve that this congregation is a product of God's mission, and I praise and thank the Lord for giving us this wonderful day to continue to highlight the importance of God's mission. Today is November 1, and it's Mission Sunday in our local calendar. In the Philippine national calendar and church calendar too, November 1 and 2 is called All Saints and All Souls Day, and considered holidays in the Philippines. Believe it or not, millions and millions of Filipinos go to the cemeteries and give tribute to their beloved ones, dead or alive. Now here is a story. A Filipino Chinese and a Filipino Aussie at the cemetery. The Filipino Chinese brought food, dim sums, noodles, and oranges, and placed it on the tomb of his beloved departed. The Filipino Aussie also brought flowers and a picture of him and her beloved departed and placed it on the tomb. And they said their prayers. Then the Filipino Aussie asked the Filipino Chinese, "When do you expect your beloved ones to come and eat those dim sums, noodles, and oranges that you brought him?" The Filipino Chinese was quick to answer the Filipino Aussie. He said, "And when do you expect your beloved one to come and smell the flowers and see your pictures you brought here?" And they laughed together. Filipinos usually laugh to themselves in their awkward and embarrassing moments. And they talk and found out that they were actually Christians, and they shared to each other their missionary works and relationship with Jesus. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. We have known God by how he revealed himself in the past, in the present, and in the future, as attested by our scripture. We have known our living God by his characters, by his attributes, and by what he does. One of which is that our God is not only our creator, our provider, but he is also a missionary God. A living God that continues to call and send people into his kingdom. Our reading and studying of our scripture tell us the fact that since the fall of man, God had been and is still very much active in calling and saving his people. Right after the fall of Adam and Eve, God immediately came down to the garden and started looking and calling and redeeming the fallen humanity when he said, "Adam, where are you?" We learn that that God's greatest rescue mission for the fallen humanity was when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, according to Paul, to live and die and rose again to save mankind and his creation. Our missionary God has sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost too, empowering God's people, God's church, even today, to do our Lord's great commandment and do his great commission. Now, our long Bible reading today, taken from Acts chapter 10, is just one of the many Bible passages and stories that recorded how our living and missionary God revealed his presence and his will for Cornelius and for Peter. With me is a copy of the October 2015 issue of the Southern Cross. The front page and the centerfold story tell us that our missionary God continues to transform lives and bring people into his fold. And Logan Conwar is one of the thousands of people who were called and saved and sent to do mission in Nepal and here in Australia. The same missionary God who is calling and sending us here in Australia to do mission and ministry among our Filipino-Australian here in Australia. For your information, since Australian door opened its door to the Filipino migrants in the early 1970s, according to a general information, there are about 120 more of Filipinos spread all over Sydney, and most of them are concentrated in Blacktown. So there's a lot and lots and lots of Filipinos too. Now it's the same missionary God who is calling and sending us to come together here at the ponds. He is the same missionary God sending you individually and collectively as a church to do God's mission and ministries in this beautiful suburb called the Ponds. We are at Quakers Hill, and I learned that the Ponds is much better than Quakers Hill. I learned that you are a bit expensive here. But it's all right. But it is the same God before who called Paul and Cornelius. It's still the same God who is calling you individually and as collectively as a church to do mission and ministries here at the Ponds. Now let's go back to our text. Our reading today is one of the biblical passages that also affirms the ultimate goal of God's mission. So I love this story because it tells us of a very dynamic missionary God. And also in this Bible story, it tells us of the ultimate goal of God's mission. And we can read that in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. In the statement or declaration of Peter, he said, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men, and let me include women, from every nation who fear him and do what is right." Wow. But knowing Peter, who immediately rushed into action, and sometimes without thinking, it's a bit hard to see the ultimate goal of God's mission in his declaration. And so we need the help of John, who is like a soaring eagle, is gifted with the sharpness of vision, seeing the things below from above. God revealed to John and allowed him to see a clear yet partial view or some sort of a glimpse of heaven. And we read that in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 11 and onward. And I would just like to read this vision of the ultimate vision of God or mission of God. According to the revelation of God to John, it says, a great multitude, take notes, not one multitude, great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people and language standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, the Lamb. The ultimate goal of doing God's mission is the salvation of great multitude of people from every language, tribe, and nation worshiping Jesus in heaven. And from this vision of the ultimate goal of God's mission, we now understand the command of God to Peter to get up and kill and eat. We understand that Peter's vision of food is not at all about food, but it's about God changing attitudes, changing perspectives of prejudices, of making unclean clean, so that His will, His salvation and vision would be realized beginning here on earth as it culminates in the new heaven and new earth. And from this vision of the ultimate goal of God's mission, we understand why it is important for God to send and reveal His Son, Jesus Christ. And God used Peter in His preaching to introduce Jesus to a God-fearing man like Cornelius. From this vision of the ultimate goal of God's mission, we understand the teaching and the mandate of Jesus Christ to do the great commandment and to do the great commission. Love the Lord your God with all your hearts and with all your mind and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all the Lord's command. The ultimate goal of God's mission is to save great multitudes of people from every tribe, language, and nation worshiping Jesus Christ in heaven. Personally, I am very happy that here in Australia, churches like Life Anglican Church of the Pond, I say Christians coming from multi-ethnic language and national origins, acknowledging and worshiping Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Lord and Savior. In other words, you and I have already had the foretaste here on earth, the ultimate goal of God's mission in heaven. And so personally, it is an awesome kindness and grace and privilege for me to witness and come together, join you, and as one, worship and praise God. Let's go back to our Bible story. One of the mind-blowing facts that we see in the story of our missionary God here in Acts chapter 10 is He's God's revelation to Cornelius. And I'm not going to repeat what happened, but this is one of the mind blowings that we can see here in the story of God's missionary work in Acts chapter 10. You know, there are people who are telling and teaching that what is important is that people are devout and God-fearing, generous in giving to the needy, and pray to God regularly. And according to these people, that is all what matters in life and faith and in relationship to others. And I hear a lot of Filipinos here in Australia, in the Philippines, telling me that it's all right, what all we need, what is all matters is we are God-fearing, generous in giving, and pray to God regularly, and that's it. But my brothers and sisters, if we stop here and end here of being devout, being God-fearing, generous, and prayerful, we miss and we fail to see the ultimate goal of God's mission. Indeed, this is one of the Bible truth-to-life stories that God revealed Himself to people in their religious and spiritual standing, and God accepts sincere prayers and gifts as a memorial offerings before Him. But the story goes on to tell us that God is revealing Himself more to Cornelius in his vision, and He would like Cornelius to know Jesus personally and intimately, because Jesus is the anointed one. And so God led Cornelius to Peter, and Peter introduced and talked about Jesus to Cornelius and to others who were with them. And this event led to the wonderful conversion of a wonderful relationship between Cornelius and Jesus, and it culminates in the ceremony, in the celebration of their baptism. In short, what makes our mission different with other missions being done by many people and agencies? Or we turn around the question, what makes our mission similar or common with other missions being done by people and agencies? The answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the very main content or the very reason of existence of our mission. Jesus Christ is what makes our mission Christian in comparison and in contrast with other missions. However, my brothers and sisters, let us remind ourselves constantly that Jesus Christ is a person. And He is a truly divine, not a material thing, not a material object. He is alive and still working today. So does the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the very content of our mission. He is the very reason of our existence. But He is not something that we need to force into the mouths of people. We need to recognize that our risen Lord is already working and much, much ahead of us. We have to respect our Lord as He engages with and works in the lives of people, even as we offer ourselves to be His agents, to be His servants, to be His teachers, pastors, friends, brothers, and sisters. Like Peter, it is our role to introduce, to teach and preach Jesus Christ even to the devout, God-fearing, and prayerful modern-day Cornelius. I strongly believe that our risen Lord Jesus Christ accepts people from every nation and would like very much to establish a personal, intimate relationship with them. And He is doing that in and through us and with us. brothers and sisters, would we continue to introduce Jesus Christ to the modern day Cornelius living at the ponds? And go even beyond to those who doesn't believe in the existence of God at all. To introduce and teach about Jesus to people of every tribe, language, and nation is worth the excitements, the opportunities and challenges, the pains and the joy of doing God's mission. Church, therefore, is never boring at all. As long as you are engaged with God and people in His mission and ministries. Brothers and sisters, would we continue to introduce Jesus Christ to the modern day Cornelius and go even beyond to those who doesn't believe in the existence of God? Our modern and democratic societies like Australia and our advanced technologies, communications, and transportation never guarantee that doing God's mission is much easier today compared to 30, 50 years ago, let alone doing God's mission here at the ponds. We Christians and churches in the 21st century are facing a lot of difficulties and challenges in doing mission locally and abroad, whether short, medium, or long term. I wonder, what are those barriers that hinder or slow us down in introducing and teaching Jesus to every people, tribe, language, and nation here at the ponds? Steve, our pastor, has shared with us of God's mission and plan and work here at the ponds, the heart to engage and establish connections and relationship with the different people living here at the ponds, especially with the lovely people from India and Sri Lanka and other part of Asia, and introduce and teach Jesus to them. I really wonder, what are the barriers that hinder us or slows us down in introducing and teaching Jesus to these lovely people? Will it be our cultural and religious belief, taboos and traditions about eating of food or understanding of God? Would it be our standing that people are already God-fearing, prayerful, and generous, and therefore no need to tell about Jesus and His gospel? Would it be language barriers? Would it be scarcity or absence of resources, of leaders and volunteers? Would it be complacency on our part? Our missionary God remains faithful in helping us in breaking barriers that hinder us to do His mission. God has proven this many times, and it's consistently narrated and affirmed in the stories of men and women in the Old and New Testament, in the stories and written in the 100 pages of thousands of publications like Southern Cross, and also in our church bulletin. This is story and affirmation of God breaking hindrance and barriers, the story of the tingles, the horns, and everything here. My brothers and sisters, there are also testimony and affirmation that God breaks barriers in the unwritten testimony of yours and mine. God had already made the greatest and the most difficult risk mission to help us when He sent His Son Jesus Christ to live and die and rose again from the dead to redeem and save us. He further sent His Holy Spirit to be with us, to comfort and renew and strengthen us at times when we are so tired and exhausted in doing God's mission and ministries. Our brothers and sisters here at the pond, would you continue to introduce Jesus Christ to the modern day Cornelius and even go beyond to those who don't believe in the existence of God? May I encourage you to be generous like Cornelius in terms of your prayers, in terms of your financial support to the needy, in terms of your financial giving to support God's mission here at the Ponds in Australia and abroad. May I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to persevere like Peter in teaching about Jesus, even to those who don't belong to their tribe and to their race. Remember, God shows no partiality and accepts people from every nation who fears God and do what is right. May I continue to encourage you to read and learn about India and Sri Lanka and other countries, about the Philippines, its people and in the culture and their food. Now let me put into spot Steve. Sorry, Steve. We have a brilliant and hard-working pastor, Steve, with us here at the Ponds. Aside from him, a very engaging person, I think he is very, very brave to try all kinds of food. Yeah. Yeah. Every time he is in charge of our lunch, oh, I love his food. He prepares food. And again, this is a confession. When I visited his place, he attended us. He invited us to join a meeting in his place. I saw in his bookshelves cooking books together with his Bible and commentaries. I also so happy to see Steve wearing black t-shirt with the Philippine maps embroidered on it. Thank you, Steve. In other words, would you please continue to support our leaders and volunteers in their courage to try other food, and even in simple as wearing t-shirt, just to connect and engage with people. And I admire people who transcends the quote-unquote taboos and try to eat food. Of course, it's very challenging. For us Filipinos, we can easily eat your food here in Australia. Oh, just a bread, piece of bread, and then you stuck across a lot of vegetables, and we can eat. Good. But I also recognize that we struggle to connect. What I'm saying is there are a lot of things where we can start talking and continue to share our stories. And please support whatever ways, whatever strategies you do. For us Filipino, start talking about food. Start talking about family. Start talking anything. And I think there are lovely people to talk to. We love people talking to us. I hope and I pray that we too, Filipino, love talking to you. And I think we love it. My brothers and sisters, please continue to talk, reflect, and pray to God for answers to those hindrances to do God's missions. These hindrances are real, hard and valid. But like Peter and Cornelius and Jacob, let us bring this to God and wrestle with Him. And let us not stop until God will bless us with wisdom and resources and people to introduce and teach about Jesus Christ to people of every tribe, language, and nation. To God be the glory. Amen.